Soulja Boy Tell.
And welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 7 of the Tiger's Den podcast. Please make sure to join us at Tiger_podcast on Twitter. Again, thanks everybody for the downloads. And I'll start to show off. I gotta admit, I'm not doing too good right now. I'm in a good bit of pain. I pulled a muscle in my lower back on Sunday. It's now Thursday, and it's still causing me a lot of pain. You know, I'd like to say that, you know, I pulled a muscle in my back, I don't know, doing something heroic like saving Tiger Woods from a wrecked car. Prayers to Tiger. But that wasn't it. I'd like to say that it was doing something cool, maybe like trying some kind of new weird sex position or something. Nope, wasn't it either. I hurt my back because I stood up getting off the toilet. Yes, I stood up getting off the toilet, and as soon as I did it, I was in some serious pain. It hurt, it resonated down my back, and it settled in my lower back, and I am in some serious pain right now. And I have been since Sunday. Kind of on a sidebar, about toilets, and I know that's a weird topic to go into, but man, let me tell you, my wife got me probably the greatest Christmas present I've ever gotten. This past Christmas, she got me a bidet for the toilet, and it's pretty easy to hook up. They're relatively inexpensive, only about $40, but I tell you what, it is a game changer, life altering game changer. I get up, I'm clean. Refreshed, I'm saving a crap ton, pun intended, of money on toilet paper, because you're basically only using toilet paper just to dry off. It is absolutely amazing. I highly, highly recommend getting one for anyone out there listening. Bidets are awesome. But anyway, I'm sure you're not here to talk about toilets or crap or anything like that. You're here to talk some Louisiana State University Fighting Tigers. So we are going to kick things off and start talking about LSU football. All right, LSU football. LSU got a new recruit signed, and it might have happened on our last show, and I just neglected to mention it, but A.J. Johnson from Newman High School is a wide receiver. He is number 2. That is his actual number. If you've ever watched any kind of clips of Arch Manning playing football, he's the quarterback for Newman, who's going to be a really good prospect. We'll get to that in a second. But if you ever watched clips of Arch Newman, I'd say most of his highlights, number 2 is catching the ball. And he has made some spectacular catches. He's got good speed, good hands, really looks like a playmaker. And I think he's going to be a great addition to the LSU football team. Can't wait to see him in purple and gold. And, you know, man, it'd really be nice in a few years to have Arch Manning sign with LSU. I'd love to see that kid in purple and gold. He is going to be a talent, just like his daddy, or not his dad, I guess, like his grandfather, Archie, his uncles, Eli, and Peyton. He's going to be really good. And, you know, obviously he's got ties to Tennessee, because that's where Peyton went. He's got ties to Ole Miss, because Eli and his grandfather Archie went there. But man, you know, I really think the Mannings need to just spread the love to the SEC and maybe not Bama, but spread it around to LSU and have Arch come to LSU, because man, he's going to be a stud in a few years. I mean, he's already really great now at Newman. He's going to be a good college quarterback and will be playing on Sundays, I can promise you. Some other football news: Will Campbell was a offensive lineman that we signed. He has now been moved up to a 5-star. He was a 4-star offensive lineman. Now he's a 5-star offensive lineman. And Walker Howard is now a 5-star quarterback. Now Walker Howard, that for those who don't know, is the son of Jamie Howard, who is a former LSU quarterback. So he's a five star now. Both guys are five star. We actually have the number two recruiting class right now, I think, for the 2022 season. So, expect big things. Again, just an awesome job recruiting kids. Today, the spring kind of schedule was announced. Spring practice for football is going to be starting on March 16th. They're going to have 15 practices, culminating with the spring game on April 17th. They don't have a time yet for the spring game. Now, LSU baseball is playing that day on the 17th against South Carolina, I believe that night. So, LSU will probably schedule the spring game possibly during the day, early afternoon. That way people can go to the game and go to the spring game and then walk down the street and go to Alex Box to see the Tigers play. Hopefully, obviously we don't know what the fan situation is going to be like at that time. But hopefully we can maybe get some fans in there because it'd be really nice, man. There's nothing like going to the box and watching a game. I've talked to that bef about that before. That would be a pretty cool, a great day. I know I'd love to do it, so I'm sure any Tiger fan would. That's pretty much all that I've got right now for LSU football. Once spring practice starts, we'll be getting into that more. So March is going to be a busy month. We'll have spring practice for football, obviously the NCAA tournament for basketball, and baseball's kicked off and going full swing right now. So let's go ahead and move into LSU basketball. I've been trying to come up with, I guess, the best way to describe LSU basketball this season. I've used terminology like roller coaster because they go up and down, an elevator team. I think the best definition that I've come up with is consistently inconsistent. They will look like world beaters one game, like they did this week versus Auburn, and then they'll go just lay out a turd against, like they did against Georgia. It's from one game to the next. You just do not know what team is going to show up. And it's so just frustrating because they obviously have the talent. They have the talent. I believe they have the coach, but they are so schizophrenic. It's ridiculous. The last time we talked, they were going to play Auburn. We got the win against Auburn. And when I tell you we got the win against Auburn, we demolished Auburn. We won 104 to 80. Cam Thomas, 27 points. Wofford, 18 points. Darius Day, 16 points. Field goal percentage, we're shooting 53.4% in field goals, 50% from 3-point range, 21 points off of turnovers. I mean, we were killing it. We were playing good offensively. With 21 points off of turnovers, obviously, we were playing good defensively. We just had a monster game. And it was great to see. At the end of that game, you're like, man, we could beat anybody. We can go, we're on a roll. We're going to go in an SEC tournament on a roll and then go into the NCAA tournament and, hopefully go deep. And you look like world beaters. You look like you can pretty much take on anybody. And then Georgia came. And the Georgia game was the complete and total opposite. The best way to describe the Georgia game is, I don't know, vomit, crap, laziness, horrible, just disgusting game. They lost 91-78. Cam Thomas had 21 points. Javonte Smart had 19. Wofford had 13. It was just a letdown on all levels. Offensively, we only shot 40% from the field, 26% on threes, only 9 points off of turnover. So that can tell you that we weren't playing good defense. I mean, you go from scoring 104 points in one game to 91 points in another game. I'm sorry, to 78 points in another game. The other team scored 91. So you go from 104, which is, in college basketball, 100, if you get over 100 points, you're just playing really well and shooting lights out. But if you go from 104 points to 78 points, it's ridiculous how crazy it is, how up and down they are. I don't even think a fortune teller would be able to tell you what's going to happen next. And that's not good. When it comes tournament time, I'm telling you, if you're filling out a bracket, skip the LSU games altogether because nobody can tell you what they're going to do. And after the game, Will Wade really didn't mince words. He said, quote, "It was a total embarrassment. I feel bad for all of our fans and everybody who follows our program. It was laughable, and it starts with me." That's end quote. So it's good to see that quote, that he's kind of taking responsibility. But, man, you know, coaching can only get you so far. You need to get up for every game. I know that's hard sometimes to do, but the season is already kind of shortened because you're only playing an SEC schedule. You've got to get up for every game. And you go so high in the Auburn game, and it's just to go so low in the Georgia game. Consistently inconsistent. That is them. To a T. Next game is Saturday versus Arkansas, 1 o'clock on ESPN2. Then they play March 2nd, which is a Tuesday, versus Vandy, 7:30 SEC Network. And that was going to be the last game, but today they added a Missouri game, which I believe was a makeup game. So they will play Missouri the following Saturday. So you have three games left in a regular season, and then you start an SEC play. I've seen them estimated to be anywhere between probably an 8 to 10 seed. There's one seed, I want to say it's an 8 or 9, where if you get it, if you win that first game, you're going to be playing the number one seed the second game. Obviously, you want to avoid that spot if you can. But they could go out and beat a number one seed. You just don't know. And that's just the most frustrating thing. Listen, I'm going to pull for the Tigers to win. I'm going to watch the game versus Arkansas. But I'm just so frustrated with this team right now. Obviously, I'm going to continue to pull for them and watch them. But gosh, they are so frustrating. Consistently inconsistent. That's all I can say about it. They are schizophrenic. And until, you know, I'm hoping it's just this team, because judging by Will Wade's past teams, they haven't been like this. So I don't think it's the coaching, unless he's losing the players, which I don't think he is. I think it's the players, man. I just think that they get up for some games and then just decide for other games, well, we're not as excited, so we're not going to play as hard. I don't know. I could be totally wrong, but something's definitely going on. And maybe it is the coaching. I don't know. But something's definitely going on, and it's not pretty at all whatsoever. Consistently inconsistent. We're going to move on to some better times, some good times with LSU baseball. All right, LSU baseball, man. We open up the season. I am so happy LSU baseball is here. It's something that I absolutely love to watch. I love watching it on TV. I love going to games. It is fun. I am a huge LSU baseball fan. This is my wheelhouse. Now, let me give you a little background information kind of on me to kind of let you know where I'm coming from when I do make observations or criticisms about just baseball play in general. Ever since I was little, my dad was a coach. He started when I was younger at Pope John Paul High School in Slidell. He was there when all the programs started. So him and another coach, Bill Gallagher, started the basketball, football, and baseball program. So he coached all three sports. And I grew up either on a football field, a baseball field, or a basketball court. Later on, as I got older, when I was in grammar school, he left Pope John Paul and ended up at Jesuit High School in New Orleans, where I went to school eventually. When he first got hired there, he was a basketball coach. He was the 8th grade basketball coach, and he was a baseball coach. I believe he coached JV at that time. Eventually coached varsity for a while, went back to JV. And basically, I was always on a field, okay? I went to pretty much all the practices with him, especially on the weekends. I was in the dugouts for games. I've seen more than my share of baseball games. I also worked for the New Orleans Zephyrs. So in New Orleans, when they were there, and I've seen 72 home games for 4 years, or however many home games they have for 4 years. So I've seen a lot of baseball. I've played a lot of baseball. I played at Jesuit High School. And so basically, I'm saying all this to tell you that the things I'm going to talk about or the criticisms I have are usually common baseball knowledge. So the questions I have and the criticism that I have about Paul Maneri a lot of times are due to the fact that it seems like simple baseball knowledge, and I don't know how he does it. He's got to know it, because anybody who's been around baseball as long as he has to know these things. But he's not conveying it to the players, and you think the players would know it too because they've been around baseball. So I don't know where the disconnect is between what they learn growing up and then what they do, because some of these things are fundamental baseball things that you learn when you are a little kid. And that's the things I'm going to point out, because look, not everybody played baseball. Not everybody played high school or college ball. But if you played little league ball, you should know some of these things that they are making common mistakes on. So that's where I'm coming from. I just wanted to kind of give you a little background about me. I'm not an expert by any means, and I'm not perfect by any means, but for the most part, I know what I'm talking about, especially when it comes to baseball. So, with all that being said, LSU baseball is 3-1 after this past weekend and their midweek game. They took 2 out of 3 over the weekend, and then they also beat ULL on Wednesday. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give you a rundown of the scores of the games first, and then I will go back and kind of talk about each individual games and mention some notes that I have. So the first game was Air Force. We got the win, 6-1. So it was great to open off with a victory, open off the season with a victory. Then we lost the second game to Air Force, 5-6. We won versus La Tech in the third game, 16-7, and then won against ULL in the fourth game, the midweek game. So if you look at, we won that one 11-2. So if you look at the last two games, we scored 27 runs in the last two games. Now, we talked about how the offense was probably possibly going to be a weakness, but man, if this is any indication, the offense is looking pretty sharp. I really think the weakness of this team is going to be possibly the infield, particularly the left side of the infield, which we has also talked about. You look at the first game, actually the first two games, Helmer started at third, and to say it wasn't pretty is an understatement. Now, Maneri kind of owned up to it and said, "Look, I probably shouldn't have put him in that position." And he's right, he really shouldn't have. Helmers was brought in to be a pitcher, and you put him for a week at third base, and then he does okay in practice, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, you're starting. When you got these other guys who have been playing third and practicing at third the whole off season, it was just really kind of just a bit confusing as to why exactly he did that. And put him there at third. So Helmer starts at third, and I'm pulling for the kid. He went to Jesuit. That's my alma mater. I'm pulling for the kid to do well. But man, he had a rough go. The first 1.5 games, he basically had 4 errors in the first 1.5 games. And you're not going to be lasting very long in the field, especially on the left side of the infield with that kind of performance. And he didn't really do well at the plate either. So in the La Tech game, they ended up starting Jordan Thompson at third. He did fairly well, so I'm kind of expecting Jordan Thompson maybe to be the starter over there. We'll see. I still think he's going to mess around with the lineup, unfortunately. Well, maybe fortunately, I don't know. It really seems like we're kind of set, I think, possibly at short. We will see. We will see. I know the right side of the infield, looked great. Morgan at first, man, he is something special. He had a great weekend at the plate. You can really see the good footwork that he has at first. If he were, he's a left-hander, so he's playing first. If he was a right-hander, man, I tell you what, he would be our shortstop. There's no doubt in my mind, he probably would be our shortstop. He's got that good of footwork. And can really, do well. He's picking the ball over at first. Well, I expect really big things from him, from Trey Morgan. He really looked outstanding. Also looking outstanding is Dylan Cruz. This kid here, You know, we've talked about him before, but he's even better just watching him, you know, in the games. He is just crushing the ball. You know, the first game he went 2 for 4. In the first game, Jaden Hill got the win. You know, Cruz went 2 for 4. He's playing outfield. I mean, he just looks great. And, you know, obviously there's no really good things to come out of COVID at all, but one good thing is that he is Cruz. You know, if it weren't for COVID, he probably wouldn't be on campus. You know, the MLB had a kind of a sorted draft, and he wasn't, you know, gonna get picked, and or they limited the rosters or something, and he ended up here, and he's gonna be here for the next 3 years, and this kid's gonna be something special. He will absolutely 100% be playing in the majors one day. He is just phenomenal. So in game one, you know, one thing I do want to mention, and it kind of plays into game two a little bit. We're up 6-1 going into the ninth. And, you know, when you're up in a game, you're going into the ninth inning, you bring in your closer. Our closer is Fontenot. And so Fontenot comes in and throws 26 pitches, does well, you know, shuts them down, and we win the game. So notice that I said we had a lead. You bring in your closer in the ninth inning. That brings us to game two. Game two was a loss. Now, we were down 3-2 in the eighth. We scored 2 runs to go up. So we're up 4-3 going into the ninth. So again, you're up going into the ninth. You should bring in your closer, Devin Fontenot. LSU does not bring in their closer, Devin Fontenot. They bring in another pitcher, Floyd, and then they eventually brought in George. And those two combined end up walking in 2 runs. And then they scored another run on a sac fly. So now they're up 6-4. We come up in the ninth inning. Cruz hits a home run, and we lose 6-5. So the question is, why, when you're up by 1 run in the ninth in your second game of the year, why don't you bring in your closer? He only threw 26 pitches the first game. So part of the reason, Maneri said, and part of it made sense and part of it didn't make sense. So the part that made sense was, look, he says it's only our second game of the year. We want to ease him into it. We were up by 5 runs. I wasn't really going to bring him in, but he had already warmed up, you know, and was hot and ready to go, so we decided to bring him in. This was in game one. They decided to bring him in. Why don't you bring him in game two? Well, we used him in game one. He threw 26 pitches. We want to kind of hold him off till, you know, later on in the season. Okay. But then he says, I also didn't want to bring him in because he only threw 26 pitches, but he threw a lot of warm-up pitches, and you really have to take into account those warm-up pitches in his pitch count. Now, I've been around baseball for a long time, as I've said, and I've never in my life heard a coach say that you have to take into account warm-up pitches into a pitch count. So is this what we're doing now? We're taking warm-up pitches, pitches he's throwing in the bullpen, and combining that with his pitch count as a reason that we're not throwing him in the next game? What? That makes no sense at all whatsoever. Now look, I don't know if Maneri was just trying to make an excuse, you know, or what his deal was, or trying to save face, but you don't take a pitch, a warm-up pitches, and factor it into a pitch count. The only way you would do that is if you have a pitcher in the bullpen who is literally throwing the whole game nine innings. This kid was warming up for maybe an inning because they didn't bring him in until the ninth, so he was warming up maybe in the eighth. So what are you talking about, Maneri? Like, I've never heard of this in my life. Look, if you want to say, "Hey, we wanted to save him," You know, if this was an SEC game, we would have brought him in. If it was later in the season, we brought him in. You know, but it's only the second game of the year, so we're not going to bring him in. We want to ease him into the season. Okay. I can maybe not buy that. But to say we got to include warm-up pitches in his pitch count is just asinine. Just shut up, dude. Like, it's just so dumb to even say. Anyway, I don't like Mineri. Y'all know this. I'm going off here. Game three, we get a win, 16-7. Now, the thing that bothered me about game three, now I know we won 16-7, but the issue that I had with game three, and it was an issue earlier in the game that ended up being okay, but it's going to cost us in the long run, I think. Or it could cost us a game in the long run further down the line. So, and it's base running. It's base running. And I told y'all that I was going to point out when there were base running mistakes that this team makes, and they made them in this game. We're down 5-1 in the fifth inning. Okay. And bases are loaded. There is, I want to say, one out. And bases are loaded. The batter hits a kind of a ball in the air to the outfield. So when a ball's hit, when it's less than two outs and a ball's hit in the air in the outfield, if you're on third, you're gonna go back to the bait to third base to try to tag. If you're at second, depending on where the ball is, if it's hitting the right field, you might want to tag, but this was hitting to left, so you're going to go kind of halfway, they call it. Basically, and halfway isn't necessarily halfway between second and third. Halfway means you're going to go as far as you can go where you're not going to get doubled off if the guy catches the ball. You're not going to get doubled off back at second. And the same at first, you're going to go halfway. The ball ends up dropping, so the runner from third scores. The runner from second, who was halfway, advances to third. Now, it was kind of a shallow ball, so there was no way that he was going to make it home. The runner at first, who went halfway as well, rounds second and is not paying attention to the runner in front of him. So he winds up making a huge turn like he's going to third base and doesn't see that the guy who was going to third stopped at third. And ends up getting thrown out at second base. So they throw behind him and he gets thrown out. It's common sense. You have to look at the person in front of you to see if you can advance or not. You don't even need a coach at third to tell you if the guy in front of me is stopped, I can't go anywhere. It's common sense. These are the common sense base running mistakes that will end up costing LSU games. This will end up being a blowout. Dugas comes up, hits a grand slam in the sixth inning to tie the game. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. Hit a grand slam, killed the ball, tied the game. Really, everybody was hyped after that grand slam. I mean, it was just amazing. We score four in the seventh, five in the eighth, win 16-7. But at the time, you only score one run, so now you're down 5-2, and now you have two outs. With a runner on first and third, instead of having one out with bases loaded. It boggles the mind how we continue to make base running mistakes. And that wasn't the only base running mistake, because we're going to go into game four against ULL. Now we wind up winning this game 11-2. The base runner mistake in this one was almost as dumb as the one in the previous game. There are two outs, runner on first. Beloso gets a base hit in the outfield. Now, instead of Morgan stopping, just advancing to second base, he tries to stretch it out and go to third and gets thrown out by a mile. Wasn't even close. Every kid is taught. As one of the first things is you never make the first out or the last out at third base, especially the last out, Because if you stop at second base, you are in scoring position. So you're in scoring position with two outs. If somebody gets a hit, you're running on it no matter what. So you're going to score more than likely from second, unless it's very shallow. You never make the first or the third out at third base. This is common little league knowledge. Go up to a 9 or 10 year old and ask him, hey, should you make the first or third out at third? Or however you want to word the question. But they will tell you, you don't make the first and third out at third base. It is common knowledge. It is stupidity. And it's a constant. Now, I know you're saying, well, there's only 4 games in. There's still... No. This has been, throughout Mineri's tenure at LSU, the same base running mistakes. And it's going to end up costing them a game. I promise you, it will end up costing them games. I don't know if they don't drill it in practice. I mean, when I was at Jesuit, we literally had practices where all we did was base running because it is that important. That's how you score runs. You have to be efficient on the bases and not make stupid mistakes. Because when you do, it costs runs and you lose games. We literally had practices where all we did was base running. No sense. In that fourth game, Helmers, who started at third those previous games, actually got the win, and actually they put him at pitcher to come in relief. And they won the game 11-2, which, you know, was great. Obviously, they win. They're 3-1 on the season. Man, these opening games, like I was telling you before, Dylan Cruz, he is just a stud. He was named Freshman of the Week. He is the SEC Freshman of the Week. Right, you know, from the weekend games, he's batting .583, 7-for-12, 2 home runs, 3 RBIs, 4 walks. And let me tell you something. One of the home runs he hit, I believe it was in the third game, .419 to opposite field. .419 to opposite field. Pros, some pros can't even do that. He is phenomenal. It looks like, you know, we have some upcoming games. Youngstown State coming up Friday. And actually, we have 2 games on Saturday. So Friday is at 7 on SEC Plus. Saturday is at 2 on SEC Network Plus. And then we also play Nichols on Saturday at 6:30 on SEC Network Plus. Mineri looks to already be tinkering with the pitching staff. He's starting Jaden Hill on Friday, AJ Labus on Saturday, and Landon Marceau on Sunday, or actually the second Saturday game. So that's a switch. This past weekend, it went Hill, Marceau, Labus. This weekend, he's going Hill, Labus, Marceau. Don't know exactly what the logic or reason is behind that, but, you know, I guess we'll find out. You know, there's 2 games on Saturday. Playing 2 different teams. It's kind of odd to have that. Usually you're playing the same team, but 2 different teams on Saturday, 2 and 6:30. You know, they're starting off the season strong. Like I said, you know, the offensive was supposed to be possibly a concern, but they seem to be doing well. You know, the only concern I have right now is that left side of the infield, that and base running. That and base running are my 2 concerns, and I just hope it doesn't come up and bite them, and I just know it will. And I don't know. Anyway, that's all for LSU baseball. I want to talk a little bit about softball. They are have been playing their, you know, their season. The main thing I want to mention is Alec Caponin. Man, against Central Arkansas, they won 2-0. She had 14 strikeouts in a game. That is just amazing to have 14 strikeouts in a game. I don't care if you're playing softball or baseball. 14 strikeouts in a game for Caponin was just amazing. So hats off to her. Hats off to the softball team, you know, getting their season going. We might discuss them more down the line. But for right now, we're going to move on to everybody's favorite, LSU gymnastics.
I came to get down. I came to get down. So get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around.
All right, so we were coming off, obviously, that loss to Florida, which was, you know, kind of gut-wrenching a little bit. Going into Bama, who's the number six team in the country. And, you know, we didn't win. You know, they've lost two in a row. We lost 197.325 to 197.725. Two in a row. You know, it's kind of rough. They still put up a 197 score. I don't know. I don't know what to say. It was just a rough night. And it wasn't anything very glaring. You know, nobody really making any major mistakes. It's almost like they pushed it hard against Florida, and they decided on this one to pull back the throttle a little bit. It didn't seem as exciting as it usually is. You know, I don't know if they were just down from the loss from Florida, or they decided just to kind of, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, obviously they still scored a 197, but there wasn't anything that really that jumped out at you. You know, you usually have a floor or bar or beam or vault performance that kind of jumps out at you. And none of it did. It almost looked like they were just kind of going through the motions, like just trying to get out of there with a 197 score. Now, they're still second ranked in the country. Gymnastics works a little bit different. It's not like it's a poll like they do for basketball or for football or baseball. They go by point total, so they go by average point total. So the average point total is still high enough to where they're ranked number two in the country. Haley Bryant was again named SEC Freshman of the Week. It is her third time with that honor this year. They are going against Kentucky on Friday at 6 o'clock. Kentucky's the number 14 team in the country, and then they go against Missouri the following Friday at 7:15, and that is it. You know, that's their regular season, and then they'll go into SEC play. I'm hoping against Kentucky and Missouri, we can kind of pick it up a little bit, pick up the throttle a little bit, kind of get some momentum going into the SEC tournament, because they'll need it, because obviously Florida's going to be there, and they're the number one team. Sammy Durante is up for the AAI Award, which goes to the top senior gymnast in the country. So congrats to Sammy. That's well-deserved. We'll update you on if she wins it or not. But, you know, that's just a big honor just to even to be nominated for something like that. Like I said, I really hope they kind of pick it up against Kentucky. It was just kind of a ho-hum performance against Bama. It really, you know, nothing against the girls. It just looked like they were going through the motions. And, you know, I'm the kind of guy that there are times where optics sometimes mean more to me, I guess, than others. You know, when you lose a game, I understand it's a game. Or you lose a meet, I understand it's a meet and it's not life. But, you know, you should, you know, I'm a competitive person, so I feel like there should be disappointment there, and I'm sure there was disappointment there, but, you know, there's still, these girls are still, you know, posting selfies on Instagram, and maybe it's just a generation, you know, thing, and they're smiling, laughing, and cutting up, and it's just like, man, y'all just lost your second meet in a row, and y'all are still posting all this stuff, like, I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm, you know, a 43-year-old man who hurts his back getting off the toilet. So what the hell do I know? But it just kind of, it rubbed me the wrong way. Nothing against the girls. You know, they're great. It's just optic-wise, it just, I don't know. I felt like it was a bad look. When you're winning and doing stuff like that, I get it. But and I'm not saying be serious all the time when you lose, but at least let there be a little bit of disappointment on your faces. You know, I don't know, maybe not post as many selfies or, you know, something on Instagram right before, right after a meet. I don't know. Like I said, I'm a 43-year-old man who gets hurt getting off the toilet, so what the hell do I know? Anyway, that is it. That is all the show we have for you for now. We want to thank all loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which we do after Saints games, the Don't Patrol Podcast. We should be having a show coming up pretty soon. The BS and Beer Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, which he is recording also this evening, so he should be having some content coming out soon. And, of course, the Tiger's Den, which you're listening to now. Follow each show on Twitter, at Don't Patrol PCast, at Don't Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, and, of course, this show at Tiger _ podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Don't Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, just go to don'tpatrolpodcast.com. Thank you for listening tonight. Thank you for all the listens and downloads that I've been getting lately. I apologize for the toilet story. but I'm in so much pain right now. Good man, I'm in so much pain. Hopefully next time we record, I'll have an update and be in better health. We will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand by.